Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Are your shoulders moving up and down? Are you giving little kicks with your legs, maybe? If you know Bhangra and you know the Bhangra scene in our area, you will recognize the music that was playing as the Basement Bhangra Anthem. Basement Bhangra was a monthly party that had a 20-year run in New York City. It was founded by DJ Reka as a place where people could go and come together and listen to some Bhangra bangers and dance. The event was enormously popular, and Reka even brought the sound to the White House in 2010 when President Barack Obama celebrated Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month that May.
I want to thank DJ Reka, who's been spinning a little East Room Bhangra for everybody, mixing a hip-hop beat with the sounds of her heritage, making a uniquely American sound that may not have been heard in the White House before.
Basement Bhangra as a monthly club night ended in 2017. Now it is coming back this weekend at the Capital One City Parks Foundation Summer Stage to celebrate its 25th birthday. DJ Reka joins us now to tell us about Bhangra, the event, and to play some music. Reka, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much. As a Gen Xer, I'm honored to be sharing this time with you.
So happy to have you. And listeners, I'm really happy to have you. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Did you ever attend Basement Bhangra? Are you planning to go to Summer Stage this weekend? Do you have a Bhangra song, or artist that you want to shout out? Join our conversation. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or hit us up on social media at All of It WNYC. That is Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to start at the basics, if it's okay. What's the origin of Bhangra?
Bhangra is a music that originates from Punjab, a region divided by India and Pakistan. It's actually a dance and a music, and it's actually a particular rhythm within the different rhythms of Punjabi music. Iconically, it's represented by a dhol drum, which is worn and hit on by two sides, and that's the sort of the bass. And the melodic part of it is the thumbi, a single stringed instrument. The music I play and where I got connected to it is what was created in the diaspora. So post-World War II, lots of Pakistani and Indian immigrants went to the UK to fulfill labor shortages. They brought their musics and their traditions with them. They mixed with other post-colonial people, children of the grandchildren or children of the Windrush generation. They started, you know, dancehall dub. Really influences the style of music I play, as well as hip hop. Dub influences everything. And so it was, you know, this traditional sound, and I put tradition in quotes because there's no such thing. And, you know, it just sounded good. I heard a song when I was 15. A few years later, I heard it, a remix version, and it just blew my mind. So, and in the diaspora, the Punjabi South Asian diaspora, it's hugely popular. We have millions and millions and millions of fans.
Are there lyrical themes to Bhangra? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are. I think they keep changing. And I think the first round of music was definitely some longing for homeland, longing for an idyllic Punjab. Whiskey is a very big theme. Dancing is a big theme. Mm-hmm. Gathering together with your friends is a very big theme. And it's the usual stuff that music, dancing, pursuit, romantic pursuit, sometimes heartbreak. But also sometimes political. During the farmers' protest, there were a lot of songs. Every Bhangra artist did a farmers' protest songs. There's a huge community of Punjabi truck drivers in North America. Some songs are about trucks. Sometimes they're in the videos. You know, there a lot of aesthetics are taken from hip hop or any other kind of global music. You know, rented cars for videos, etc. But yeah, I mean, there it's. I would say whiskey is a distinguishing factor.
That was interesting the way you were describing the evolution of it, that as it traveled, it picked up a little bit from here, a little bit from there, a little bit from some other place. But how has it remained, you know, what part of it, and to your point, there's not something that's traditional, but what part of it has remained sort of very pure?
I think linguistically, it's in Punjabi. So that's the root of it. So Bhangra is sung in Punjabi. In terms of pure, I think it goes through cycles. Different artists sort of evoke what they call a folk. I said, if you want to do like a spectrum, it's like, this is very folk. This is very not folk, or very modern or fusion. I hate that word too. words are useless. Words are limiting. But yeah, so sure. I mean, there's the folk sound, but you know, a lot of it is studio magic. So how do you make the folk sound? Do you always have the actual instrument in the studio, or do you have a version of it that sounds like it? Or are you layering things to make it sound like that? So in the track that we just heard, you know, the dole is very prominent, the drum, but it's actually a lot of tracks put together to make it sound that way. So it's produced very much like, you know, like hip hop songs or like dance songs, you know, in terms of the parts, vocals, bass line, drums, melody, et cetera.
Yeah. We just have to get the words to evolve with the culture.
Yeah, exactly. I'm ahead of it, maybe.
For sure. Let's talk to Mike on line one. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Love your show and really appreciate being on, especially with your guest. I was first exposed to Bhangra living in London in the 80s, and I can remember a specific moment seeing the film I'm British But. There was a great Bhangra band, I'm not remembering the name, but they talked about the history of oppression of South Asian immigrants in Britain. And then when I came back to New York in the early 90s, I found my way to SOB and Basement Bhangra. And I loved that scene, and I'm glad it's still kicking around.
So glad that you could let us know and call in. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. We really appreciate it. Rick, did you want to respond?
That movie is by Gurinder Chadha, who famously made Bend It Like Beckham. She has been to the party. She was actually at the last show. And that movie has a band on top of a storefront in Southall, which is sort of the community there. And he does... Again, earlier themes of migration, missing home, etc.
My guest is DJ Reka. The event is this Saturday. It's Basement Bhangra's 25th birthday bash at Summer Stage in Central Park from 3 to 7 p.m. They will be there. So this a competitive Bhangra scene, I've heard. I didn't know about this until we booked you. And it's kind of blowing my mind a little bit that there are these dance teams at colleges like George Washington University says it has the oldest one, MIT, Harvard, Georgia Tech, probably too many to name. All right. So Virginia Tech won first place at the 2022 Bhangra Blowout. I'm going to play a little clip from that performance. I encourage people to go Google it and watch it later. But I think the listeners might enjoy this mix of Bhangra and Eminem. How did competitive Bhangra start?
I guess at that's another show. No, but basically it started. In fact, that's how I started. Competitive Bhangra, but you know, there's always this window to say, you know, what's your cultural representation. So colleges started having, you know, culture shows or nights, and there's even a document. Documents a Bhangra group or dance in Ohio in 1974 at the South Asian Digital Archives. But basically, colleges started having Bhangra teams as critical masses of South Asians started going to college post 65 immigration. And there's a critical mass. So these Bhangra teams started forming, and it sort of created its own energy. So Bhangra Blowout started at George Washington University in DC. It gained so much attention that they started renting out Constitutional Hall, which is a 4,000 seat arena. And that started 2 years before Basement. There would be a big party afterwards, and it caught on. So the teams got more developed. They're actually competitions that are not affiliated with colleges, and the style of music, and it's a whole universe. What they play, the rules, there's a podcast about it that goes in depth, the minutiae of it. And the stuff they play at the for the competition is different than what I would play necessarily, because they're coordinating it to music, and their mixes are very unique. So there is a whole world there. And, you know, when we did Basement, our goal was to get ex-Bhangra college team people to come dance with us because we knew they could. I could always spot the Bhangra team. I go, you were on the Bhangra team, weren't you?
Listeners, yeah. Call in if we have any fans of Bhangra. If you've ever been to Bhangra Basement Bhangra, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or hit us up on social media at All of It WNYC. Tell us a little bit about why you started Basement Bhangra. It was 97.
It was 97. A younger me, was DJing with my friend, DJ Joy. So we were sort of, I started with my cousins. They went back to India and there was a sort of an emerging club scene. The first party I did in the club was a fundraiser because I was also doing a lot of community work on 28th Street. And a sort of a scene brewed of people throwing South Asian parties. And musically, those parties were pretty diverse, but we were getting booked by promoters. And a lot of them would say things like, well, don't play too much black music, highlighting their racism, and don't play too much Bhangra music, highlighting their classism. So within the structure and hierarchy of like South Asians, it's like the whole idea of people who do agricultural work in modern times are always not respected, right? Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, Punjab is the breadbasket of India, and, you know, likewise in Pakistan. And so there were Punjabis and Bhangra music were seen as sort of lower class. So I'm like, okay, basically you're saying you're racist and classist. You're giving me music directives. I want the ability to just play whatever I want. Music policing always happens in clubs. It still happens mm-hmm. today. Whatever the verboten music is, whether it's trap or drill or whatever, you know, so we did a gig at the venue. They said, hey, do you want to start something monthly? And then I wanted to come up with an actual concept, not just throw a party. And so I wanted to sort of play Bhangra and hip hop. They fed off of each other with a splash of dancehall, I'd like to say. And so I wanted to just keep the music really concentrated and, you know, just have a more intentionality around a club night and not just play whatever, so that people are coming for a robust experience.
Let's play some of the music that people might hear on Saturday. Mm-hmm. This is Jasmine Senless. She'll be at Central Park, yes, making her New York debut. Let's listen to a clip of her first big dance hit, Illegal Weapon. We could talk about it on the other side. Okay, the production on that is intense. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the team that put that together.
So Intense Music is a producer from Canada, from Vancouver area, and he's gone on to produce some of the biggest Bhangra hits ever. And so growing up in North America, you can hear a little bit of a nod to some earlier Bad Boy tracks if you mm-hmm. dig a little deeper. And yeah, he's the producer that put it together. And Jasmine is singing on it, as is Gary Sandu. The lyrics are pretty forward, and it was so refreshing and different. She's basically saying, I'm taking an aim at you, and my attitude is sharper than a sword. So it's sort of like a playful back and forth. But musically, it sounds a little bit like reggaeton, right? It's got a reggaeton slash, you know, it's got a really danceable beat, and I absolutely love that song. And that song came out after we stopped Basement mm. in 2017, and Jasmine Sandless is an icon around the world because she writes her own lyrics. She is a rare gem within the Punjabi music scene, which is dominated by men, and she's sort of like, you know, she's just does her own thing, and I'm so excited to have her there.
Who else will we hear this weekend? What else will we hear?
So in tradition of Basement Bhangra, we definitely focus 100% on Bhangra for the main night, but there were a lot of, we started the party very early, so I would often do showcases of other styles of music just to sort of early times, so they're not Bhangra intentionally. to give people opportunity to build community. So on the Bhangra side, we're going to have Red Bharat, which is a huge, I would say, hometown favorite, led by Sunny Jan, who's a really diverse musician, has tons of projects across the board. But this is sort of his like live iteration of Brooklyn Bhangra funk. It's a huge band, lots of different instruments. The dhol, the drum he plays, is special. It's actually a new one he ordered from Pakistan. Sorry, I'm getting in the weeds here.
That's okay.
The other person is Sick Knowledge. He's a queer producer from Canada. He does a lot of dance hall mashups and stuff. We have Ganavia, who's going to come with a live band, who is trained in Carnatic music as well as jazz. She's a Berklee graduate. Mm-hmm. So her music is really eclectic. And Sunny's playing in her band. Raginder is a producer. He actually produced a couple of Jasmine songs, but he plays electric violin. And he also sings and does R&B stuff. Then we have some local DJs that are really popular. DJ Ushka, who DJs is based in Brooklyn and DJs like tons of places like Poppy Juice, etc. Z Muffin, another local DJ, Rajuju, DJ producer. I don't know if I've left. David Sharma, who's going to support me in my set, who also has done a lot of work. So, yeah, it's a ton of folks.
Going to be a ton of folks there. Basement Bhangra's 25th birthday bash this Saturday, August 6th, part of Central Park Summer Stage at the Rumsey Playfield from 3 o'clock till 7. Doors open at 2, and it is free. Get ready to dance. DJ Rekha, really nice to meet you. Thank you for coming on, and good luck this Saturday.
Thank you so much, and we'll have new T-shirts. Thanks so much.
Gotta have the merch. Let's go out on Ganavia. We'll be there on Saturday.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.